My brother keeps a human head in his closet. I hope I don't end up that way.
This thing, it's gonna follow you. Somebody gave it to me, and I passed it to you. It could look like someone you know, or it could be a stranger in a crowd. It could look like anyone.
Help! Santa Claus only brings presents to them that's been good all year. To the ones that ain't done nothing naughty. All the other ones. All the naughty ones. He punishes you. See Santa Claus tonight, you better run, boy. You better run for your life.
Bring me one of those chickens.
You got money to pay for it?
You paid for it.
No, but we're the king's men. So, you got money?
Not a penny. I'll still take that chicken.
You don't seem to understand the situation.
I understand that if any more words come pouring out your mouth, I'm going to have to eat every chicken in this room.
You lived your life for the king. You're gonna die for some chickens.
Someone is.
The symbol is associated with a pagan deity named Bagul. He consumes the souls of human children. Early Christians believed that Bagul actually lived in the images themselves and that they were gateways into his realm.
I am seriously positive these were not here. How would we have, just made a campsite in between three piles of rocks just by coincidence? You don't think this is strange?
Hello, welcome once again to Dark Discussions, your place for the discussion of horror, film, fiction, and all that's fantastic. I am one of your co-hosts, Philip, from the state of New Hampshire in the US of A, and with me in the state of Michigan.
This is Eric.
Eric, how's it going? I heard you got a new TV, a 65-inch Sony.
I did, and I'm doing this instead of watching it right now. So, yeah, that's my dedication.
Indeed, indeed. And in the state of New York?
Hi, this is Mike.
Mike, how's it going?
All right, Phil, I'm just wondering what will be the thing that Eric watches when he gets a chance, if he ever gets a chance.
Something in 4K.
Yeah. Nudie films?
No. Actually, high resolution really doesn't do porn any favors, but that's not this show.
Indeed. And in the Commonwealth of Virginia?
Hey, this is Barrett.
Barrett, how's it going, sir?
Going well.
Excellent. All right. So for folks who are curious, this is June 24th, 2021, that we're recording this episode. Just for folks such as some of our listeners, like Pam, who are always curious to know when they're recorded, because sometimes the episodes are not necessarily released the following week, though we've been pretty consistent with that. Out of the last five or six, all of them have been like the prior week, except for Volition, which was an older episode. And actually, the director said he liked our episode. He found us on Twitter and he said, and he then retweeted the episode for Volition.
Nice.
So, yes, yes.
And yeah, which film was that one?
That's the one about the Canadian one about the guy that did the time warping things
the guy that thinks he's clairvoyant. But
got it. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. So many of these titles do not in any way suggest the film.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's not like there was that Nick Cage film, Cop Gives Waitress $1 Million Tip or something like that. That was that pretty much tells you the movie that you're looking at right there. And then you get things like Alive and Alone and Dark.
Indeed. Yeah, not good titles necessarily, or memorable titles. Either way, for folks who stumbled upon us, we are Dark Discussions podcast again, which is part of the Dark Discussions News Network. It is the namesake of the network. It started 10 years ago. We just had our 10th year anniversary. We are not only on the web at darkdiscussions.com, but we do have an email where you can email us at darkdiscussions@aol.com or through the Contact Us link on the website. The website is updated all the time, multiple times a day. We're There's news items, release notices, and whatnot. Just put a new banner on the website that specifically says that we are a movie and pop culture website, or pop, whatever, pop culture, yeah, whatever it is. And
yes, all the movie news stuff confuses people when they get there looking for fashion tips.
Yeah, well, pop culture meaning like geek stuff, nerd stuff, you know, superheroes, video games.
But as nerds have taken over pop.
Exactly.
Well, with all the superhero films, it's probably true.
It's video games, it's science fiction, it's horror, it's fantasy.
Fair enough.
Animation.
Fair enough. Eric, what else do we have on the website?
Well, we have links to our Patreon account. Patreon will let you financially contribute your online artists like us. Producing this show is not free. We, and by we I mean Phil, have to pay for a lot of different stuff to keep the show going, including equipment and server hosting and so on and so forth. So if you'd like to help us offset the cost of producing this show, that's how you can do it. Go to patreon.com/darkdiscussions. And for every $5 a month that you care to contribute, you'll have the opportunity to submit a topic for us to possibly do as a show. We take all the topics submitted by our patrons and draw one at random on a quarterly basis to do a show about. So if that's something you'd be interested, we certainly appreciate each and every contribution. Go to patreon.com/darkdiscussions or follow the Patreon link on any page of darkdiscussions.com.
Indeed. We did switch over to a new audio hosting service. And so that cost $200 plus re-upping $150 backup site that we have that I do testing on. So we did spend $350. But reason I'm bringing that up is that since the new audio site came up, which was about 28 days ago, between the Dark Discussions podcast and the Halloween Boutique Psychotronic Reviews podcast, which are the two ones that I basically produce, we've had about 2,000 listeners already in less than 28 days. So that was pretty good. So thank you for all you folks out there who are listening, because I was shocked that we would get the numbers that quick with the switch over from one hosting service to another. We do have a Facebook group called Dark Discussions Podcast Facebook group, and you can join in the conversation there. So that's pretty much it. I guess we can get into Mike, you haven't done this for a long time, but what can people do on Apple Podcasts? They can write something.
They can do lots of things. They can listen to episodes. They could download things they want. They could like them.
What can they do for us?
No, they could like our episodes, and they could go and review them and rate them, especially if they like them. If they don't like them, then you can review those as well. We just ask you put those reviews, cast name, which whatever be our preference. The more subscribers we have, the more good reviews we have, the higher we get moved up in the rankings, the more likely we are to get noticed, and the more likely you are to further our goals to take over the world.
Indeed. Indeed. So please do write up reviews, preferably positive. And if not positive, just don't write anything, because you shouldn't even be listening to us. And we will read your emails on the podcast if you do email us. All right. So I think we can get into our topic tonight. So, Eric, what are we going to discuss tonight?
Tonight, we're going to be talking about a movie just released in 2021 called The Toll.
Hey, for Cammy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, looks like we're going far.
Yeah, that's okay, right?
Absolutely.
That's weird.
What?
I don't know. It was like my phone just had like an aneurysm or something.
Well, watch out! Oh my god, what was that? Did you hit someone?
There's no one here.
What is happening?
Someone's coming.
You don't believe me now, but you will. You're someplace else. You're in his place.
Whose place?
The tall man. He's not like you and me. He's not a man at all. But he has his ways of getting what he wants. You're stuck on his road until he gets his toll.
What does he want?
Death.
That's right. The toll is from our neighbors north, meaning the United States, the country above us, Canada. It's a Canadian horror film. It is did the festival circuits in 2020, but it's basically a 2021 release everywhere. The film stars Jordan Hayes, who's a Canadian, and Max Toplin, who's a Canadian, and it is written and directed by Michael Nader, who I assume is a Canadian. The film did festival circuits, as I said, in 2020, but it was released by Lionsgate, who either picked it up or whatever, on February 9th, 2021. It was released, and then they sent it to disc on March 30th, so you can get it on Blu-ray or DVD as well. That's pretty much all I got. The film has had mixed reviews. Such sites as RogerEbert.com said it was horrible. That's not true. They said they actually liked it. But I did see they actually saw it at SXSW or Southwest by
Southwest.
Southwest. And they actually, yeah. And they said it was decent. They said it was decent. But other places, like it got around 60-something percent, I think, or 50-something percent, which is pretty standard for a horror film on Rotten Tomatoes, if anybody cares what critics think. And that's pretty much all I have here. So I guess we can get into how we heard about this film and what we thought. And Eric, since you actually were the one that I think noticed it first, how did you hear about it and what did you think?
I just stumbled across it while I was browsing movies on Apple TV. And I gave it a watch and suggested we do an episode.
All right. And what did you think?
I enjoyed this movie. It was a little weird. I have one of my patented nitpicks towards the end of the movie, but it's basically a bottle film. It's basically two people for the vast majority of the movie. And I really like that kind of thing as long as the acting is done well. And I thought it was in this case. So if that sounds like your kind of thing, I would recommend checking it out.
All right, sounds good. All right, Mike.
Yeah, I actually heard of it. I didn't hear it until I watched it. I think people had been watching it posting that they watched it on Facebook. And then Eric had suggested watching it when we were trying to figure out what to watch this week. And I thought it was okay. I said that it reminded me when we were talking while you were away taking care of your nightmares that it kind of reminded me a little bit of the movie Resolution, in that it's mostly two people wandering around while surreal stuff is kind of happening around them, and they're not really knowing why it's happening. There's also some sort of attempts, let's say, to make a new creepypasta figure, the Toll Man. You know, which, you know, has some aspects, I guess, slightly reminiscent of Slender Man. I thought it was okay. I admit I was really tired when I was watching it, and I felt it dragged, like in the first, I don't know if you'd say it's first half, but first half hour or so, it seems to take a while to get going. And that did not endear it to me at first. I kind of saw the twist a little bit coming early on, because they kind of tell you it. It's not a bad film to watch. It is a low budget film. They do with what they can, with what they have. So that is always, you know, like it's basically a bottle show, as Eric said. That is something that definitely is noticeable, and it's working within, coloring within certain lines, shall we say. But it's not bad. It's not going to be on my top 10 list this year, but it's certainly not the worst film I'm going to see.
All right, sounds good. For me, I heard about this film because of Eric. He mentioned a bunch of films or a handful of films that he had seen that were genre-related. And then Mike said that he had heard some good buzz on social media about it. We chose it as a topic. I watched it last night. I spent the extra $4 or whatever it was to buy it for $9.99. It actually comes with a 25-minute little documentary on iTunes. I'm pretty much where Mike is, except for one thing. I didn't see the twist because I felt they were trying to push it that way so much that that twist was just going to be a red herring, and then the twist was actually the red herring. So that was unfortunate. I also enjoyed the first 35 minutes of the film more than the rest of the film. So I was a little different because it's more of like a drama and stuff. And that was pretty good. But then the second act kind of reminded me of the Dutch film, English language, but Dutch film that Eric suggested for us to do some time ago called Windmill. So it kind of reminded me like that. And it was...
You guys are coming up with some interesting comparisons that I can't wrap my head around.
Yeah, well, yeah. And Windmill, if people remember, is a bunch of people that break down and they have to go to... In this case, it was a windmill instead of a road. And they have to face these weird, supernatural, odd things that happen. And some of them were related to seeing things in their past. So that was interesting. This film, the third act, I was unfortunately didn't like it all, especially after we find out the twist is the red herring. And I felt also the film didn't explain enough, not enough answers to make it fulfilling. I'm right there with Mike. It's not going to be on my top 10 list this year, but it's a pretty decent watch, and it won't be the worst thing I've seen in 2021. So, Bert.
I like this film. The twist being out there and then being what it was just kind of made the film disappointing for me. I liked it most of the way through until we got to that and the kind of standard horror stuff at the end. But it's a good paranoia film. I really like that about it in the very first hour. And I enjoyed that a lot. And I thought a lot of the, for a simple film with just basically two people running through the woods, it was good. I enjoyed it.
All right, sounds good. All right, so Eric, do we have a wiki?
Wiki. A socially awkward driver and a weary passenger try to make it to their destination while being haunted by a supernatural threat.
All right, that's a good IMDb or wiki.
Yeah, better than the last few we've hit.
Oh yeah,
yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, so let me just Phil, let me clarify my earlier statement. So wasn't that I think you described it better. It wasn't that I necessarily saw it coming. It was the fact that they told us what the twist was.
Yeah,
in fact, it's very obvious from the opening moments of the film that here's as to what's going to happen. And then it turns into a completely different kind of movie, which was totally refreshing, only to find out that, nope, it really is the kind of movie we told you was going to be in the first place. Surprise! And that's to me, that's not really, that's sort of like, you're going to get a G.I. Joe doll, and they said, no, you're going to get a bicycle. I said, nah, really, you got a G.I. Joe doll. It's like, no, that just kind of kills it. It's what you promised me a thing with a bigger surprise, and then decide now you're getting the lesser thing instead. That's I guess kind of where I was with that.
Yeah,
that disappointed
me about it.
That's absolutely fair. I honestly didn't think the red herring was real. in other words, I didn't think it was going to go where I guess you and Barrett were thinking it was going to go, Mike, because it seemed too on the nose. And so I was thinking, okay, it's just the socially awkward stuff that is implied numerous times in the film. But yeah, it turns out that.
Well, but we've seen enough of these films. And by these films, I'm talking about low budget films without necessarily a solid pedigree, where they are exactly what they seem to be, right? They don't necessarily have any real shading or nuance or depth or surprises in it. And you're always kind of prepared for that when you're dwelling in this level. And we've been very pleasantly surprised. I'm not trying to piss on these independent films or films that are made with undiscovered talent, shall we say. So it's not a knock against all of those films, but we certainly know that there's some of these are made by people that, they tried, God bless them.
I thought the actors in this movie were good.
Oh, yeah. I did. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying we have certainly seen films like this, where they telegraph exactly what they are from the beginning. So I was not going to be surprised by that. I agree. I think that there's a lot of really nice stuff in here. I very much liked a lot of the cinematography. I thought the actors were very good in what they had to in their roles.
I found Jordan Hayes, the actress in the movie. I don't know why, because it's not like she's a dead ringer. But for some reason, she kept on reminding me of Charisma Carpenter from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I could kind of see that. I didn't pick up on it, but now that you mention, I could see that. She certainly seems like she's been screamed up by Joss Whedon.
Oh, Jesus. I don't know what Chris or whatever her name is, Carpenter. What was her name?
Charisma Carpenter.
Yeah, because I've never seen that show. And unless you've seen certain TV shows, you wouldn't know who these people are. So I don't know. So I'll take your word for it, Eric. But I definitely take Mike's word for it about Joss Whedon. I see what you're saying, though, Mike, that we've seen them telegraphed and they don't do anything new, and they're just bad films because of various things, low budget, non-professional actors or whatever, terrible special effects or whatever. But as you mentioned, God bless them for doing a good job. This obviously is definitely a step up over those type of films. And I think that's what you meant. It's just not a great film.
Right, but where you said you weren't expecting it because it was too obvious.
Yes.
We've seen plenty of films where we got exactly the obvious.
Yeah, and that was unfortunate. So I was expecting them to try and trick us to think it was so obvious, and it's like, it's not going to be that, and that's going to be awesome. And then, of course, it's like,
yeah, I definitely wanted some kind of trick. You know? That's what I was waiting
for. Phil, I bought the movie, too, and I actually watched that little 20-minute thing, and the directive that the writer-director was given on making this movie was make something for as little money as possible.
Yeah, because
they didn't even talk about story or theme or whatever. His directive was make a movie for as little money as possible. So given that was where they started, I think it turned out okay.
Yeah,
and he didn't have full control either, because the producers are the two lead actors, so the actress and the actor. So he said in that little documentary that it was as much their film as it was his. So it was like split three ways and they all had to agree on everything. So there's three hands in the cookie jar, if you so desire.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good. It's good. But that, again, that, I mean, if we're going to be honest, giving it the college try, is just that. It's, you know, he gave it the college try. But that doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to say give him 4 stars for doing it. I'll just say that done.
No, you know,
rate the film.
Some of these things that are being said, I'm being a little defensive, because some of the statements that are being made are making it sound like this is a bad movie, and I don't think it's a bad movie. I just think it's not a great movie.
And yeah, I'm with you on that.
I would think everybody would agree with you. Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So before we get into the spoilers, we can talk about general stuff. But for folks who are curious who Dark Discussions is, we do spoilers because we aren't just a review podcast. We are also a podcast that dissects and analyzes a film. So we talk about various scenes and specifics, including plot points, twists, the ending, the meanings behind these things, and so forth. So in a little bit from now, we will put up a spoiler alert. But before then, we could just talk about things in general. Well, what do we want to talk about in general? Is there anything specific? I mean,
it's hard not to get into specifics because, like we said, there's only two people in this movie and they're pretty much in a car together for half of it. So, yeah, I mean, I'll agree with everything that Mike said. The cinematography was good. I liked the acting. I thought it was pretty good. And I do actually agree that it would have been nice to have a little more meat on the bones as far as the mythology of the Tollman.
Yeah, yeah, because it was basically the mythology of the Tollman, without getting into spoilers, is that it just happens and the Tollman is attracted by something and that's it. And we're not explaining like why he's there. Is he, you know, a Native American?
Is he trying to change fate or is he trying to maintain it or what? The whole thing was a little
tight. Well, let me rephrase that. An indigenous person, because again, this is Canada, not America, so there wouldn't be Native Americans up there.
Yeah, and he's in that particular area.
Canada is
like,
part of America.
We know what he's searching for, but brings him, but that's it.
Well, it's part of North America. America's
right.
Become.
And of course, Phil noticed that the car in the movie has a Michigan plate on it.
I did. So they're trying to trick
hey,
us.
Hey, they're part of Canada.
No, we're not. Fuck you.
Yeah, F you.
They ought to be.
So they were trying to pretend that this is an American film, like a lot of Canadian films. They do that. The best one was Radius, which pretended it was Connecticut, and it was like it looked like Iowa. It was kind of funny because it was filmed in Saskatchewan, probably. But either way, yes. So she flies from Chicago to Michigan, is what it appears. So. That somewhere in Michigan, which is kind of, I must be distant away from a big city, Detroit. I don't know where. I don't know.
Michigan's huge. A lot of people don't realize how big it is. I didn't realize until I got here.
Yeah, it is pretty big state.
Look at a map sometime. It's big.
Yeah, we've driven through it with Pam a couple of times, and then there's that whole other part of it that's not part of the mitten.
Yeah, the UP.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And if you go up one of the parts of the mitten, you have to back all the way down to get to the other part of the mitten because there's no like bridges around them. So it's kind of weird. So
what you're saying is Michigan is dumb.
I didn't say that at all. Actually, my
you're a troublemaker, Mike.
Great grandfather was born in Michigan, as a matter of fact. So there you go. He was a French Canadian. Fur trapper and lumberjack.
You're not making it French and Canadian. You're just like making it deeper.
Yeah.
Indeed. Well, there's a reason why he left Canada. Let's talk about the thing, which is it's a bottle film. It's basically the Uber driver and the passenger. I mean, we've seen a lot of films like that. We just did one on the Cinema a la Carte that episode that's coming out shortly called Collateral, which was a big Hollywood budgeted film with the Uber driver or the taxi driver and the passenger.
And we've got one of those as a Patreon pick that we have to get to, which is called Ride.
Yep. That's another one. Yep, exactly. And, that was RYDE. And the concept isn't necessarily new. That's pretty much all I got about that without getting into spoilers again. But again, the Toll Man, yeah, I was talking about that. It's a strange thing because we're not explained. Yeah, is it? What is he? Who is he? What's it for? You know, it's just there. And they had a great opportunity to explain who he was when there was a third character that appears, but unfortunately they don't give us the hello Bob moment that they probably should have.
And I love that section of it. It was really well done. I just thought it was neat, but and it was pulling me into the film. But yeah, we don't get enough.
Yeah, I mean, I will say we have to thank Uber and Lyft and ride sharing in general for giving some easy lifeblood to the horror genre. You know, it's kind of like all of a sudden people started saying, start taking candy from strangers, right? You know, it's
even before they started coming out with all these movies, the horror movies about ride shares, still from the day like I found out about Uber, I was like, how is that a good idea? Like, yeah, and somebody was saying, you know, back in the day, it was like, don't talk to strangers. And now it's, here's an app on your phone so you can summon a stranger to your house to pick you up and take you away.
Right, because they're not interviewed or kept track of as well as, say, a taxi company would track their own and make sure their drivers are legit, right?
Theoretically.
Yeah, so, yeah, it does. Yeah, I mean, we've heard terrible stories about young ladies getting into those cars and terrible things happen. So crime does occur with random drivers of these services. And we've also heard about those people, meaning the drivers, being accosted mm-hmm. by drunks or gang type people that get into the car.
I wouldn't want that gig.
It's
you mean gangsters.
People throwing up.
Yeah. Well, I said gang type people because that could mean anything from the Italian mob, the Irish mob, the Jewish mob, the gangland mobs, and the cartels. I mean, so it was a catch all. So, but yeah, I guess gangster would have been appropriate as well. So it's so, you know, you know you're in a horror film, so you think one or the other is going to be not good. And of course, when you have two characters, one being of the male gender and one being the female gender, you immediately think the female gender is the one that is more apt to be in danger because that's how it is in real life. But of course, they throw in a third thing into the whole film, which is the Toll Man, which is the supernatural part of the film. So
why don't we throw up the spoiler flag?
Yeah, let's do it. All right,
flag up. Spoilers from here on out. If you don't like spoilers, stop listening right now.
That's right, and that means you, Dustin Watson.
And if you keep listening, don't complain.
Yes. All right, so we can talk about everything, Nathan. So yeah, just a quick setup. Add to the IMDb. So this is a young woman who's flying from Chicago to somewhere in Michigan to visit her father, but it appears her mother lives in like California or something because she's talking on the phone to her 3 hours away. But either way, so that was curious. So that's why I was shocked when I saw the Michigan plates because it's like, I thought she was from her mother's
house. And a real life note from somebody who lives in Michigan. Chicago's not that far away.
For me, it probably
takes less time to drive from here to Chicago than it would to be with deal with the hassle of the airport, get on the plane, fly there, and deal with the hassle on the other end.
Yeah, same here with Boston to New York City or something. But yeah, I figured that's why I was curious when they said Michigan. It's like, that doesn't make any sense from Chicago.
Maybe she flew to the upper part?
That's what I'm thinking, something like that, yeah.
Pretty like sure they don't have, like, an airport like that up there.
The entire upper part?
Yes.
Even the Canadian part?
It is very sparsely populated.
Yeah. So, either way, whatever. You know, again, these are Canadians that made the film. They don't know anything, especially about America. So, let's talk about...
Pretty sure they have airplanes.
Yeah, that may be
true. And airports.
I mean, they're biplanes, I think, but...
They're just a bunch of loons strapped to a board.
uh,
And we should point out that when you say loons, you're talking about people that are mentally unwell, not the no. not the bird.
Not the bird.
Bird, man, the bird.
Oh.
So maybe Canada will get a few digs tonight. Where of course we're just being funny. But I think what happens is that yes, yeah, so she flies in and she picks up an Uber, and her father lives like maybe an hour to an hour and 15 minutes outside of whatever big city she's supposed to be in, or mini city she's supposed to be in. And so it's going to be a long trip. And we do get one thing where we see the Uber driver. That's the first scene of the movie, so that's not even a spoiler. He's going through his cell phone pictures of people who need a ride, and he skips two guys, and then he sees the girl, and he decides to pick up the girl. And that's pretty much the setup of the film, right? I mean, that's it?
Yep.
Yeah, so a couple of things. The driver is a talkie.
Drivers like that.
I know. Leave me alone.
Like, shut the fuck up and just let me like doze off back here.
I've never taken a ride share because I have a license, but I thought there was like these things would have like what kind of a driver do you want? I thought that was like a feature. It's like you could choose. Do you like a driver who's chatty?
I've only done it once when I saw Katy Perry and at the where the Celtics and Bruins play, and then
did Taylor know?
No, she did not. But my wife and her girlfriend, because it was the three of us, wanted a drive back to the cars because it was on the other side of the Charles River at near Bunker Hill. So we took an Uber, and it was it's weird. You just choose it on a phone, and then the car comes and picks you up, and you get in, and it's just like a regular car. It's kind of, I don't know how to explain it.
We've used one a few times.
It's like a taxi except with a stranger.
Yeah,
which is also this usually kind of the same thing with a taxi.
Yep.
So he's talking,
he's using his own car.
Right. But then he says the one thing that, and I think this is where Mike was talking about, where they like did the flash, warning, Kevin from The Office. And that was, he's talking about hunting and how he uses bow and arrow. And then she asks what he hunts, and he says, small game, deer, humans. And then there's like this pregnant pause, and just like I have to stop and go, did he say what I just think he said?
Yeah, me too.
And then he says, I'm just kidding. And it's like, all right, he's faking it. And then
I thought it was funny.
It's probably not appropriate. It's like saying bomb scare or fire at a theater. Even, it may be funny, but it's probably not the smartest thing to do because of the situation. And so she, even before that though, she was going to text her father and say that the driver is terrifying her, and I thought that was weird because I didn't think he was that terrifying at all.
Well, you're also not a attractive young woman.
I don't think he's terrifying. But
he's still objecting to being classified as not an attractive young woman.
As an attractive young woman, I could understand why she would be on her guard, but I didn't see anything that he said that would have.
Well, that statement is what definitely puts her on guard, and that should.
Right.
Didn't she already start saying this guy is fucking weird to her father?
Mm-hmm.
And then before we get to the
that's what I just said, Mike. That she actually was going to say he's terrifying, and then she goes back and says that he's a little eccentric.
He's a weirdo. He's clearly not the most social person. Like he's not a people person. But that's not necessarily right. She jumps to psycho a little bit too quickly.
Well, and that's one of the things I think was well acted by the guy that was the driver, is that up until the very end, he's really acting like he could just be socially awkward.
He even says,
They successfully pointed me away from that, and even there's one point when they once they start wandering down the spooky path. There's one point when he's just like, gee, what the hell else do you want me to do? To prove I'm not crazy, because at that point they've been hanging out together for a few hours.
I'm pretty sure it's only a couple of minutes, according to
the scene clock. With the arrow is what I'm most curious about, because I really thought he was going to kill her with the arrow. I didn't think she was just seeing that. I thought he gaslit her there. And
which arrow?
The one
at the TV.
When the TV and everything.
Oh, okay. All right. Yep.
Yeah. This is one of the big problems with this film, I felt, was the driver is all alone with this girl on a empty road where the car is broken down. Legitimately, it wasn't him faking it. And if he is this serial killer kook, he didn't act that way the whole movie. So it was weird. It was almost like he suddenly said, oh, I like this girl, I'm not gonna kill her. Or
no, that
he wasn't a serial killer at all, and they just screwed up, or they just
might like
up
to play with
it. Well, there's a reason, Phil. The reason is that his car broke down, and apparently, at least from some things that he said, he's done this before.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure his MO is not to kill a girl and then hang around with the dead body. It's probably to kill the girl and get out of there, which he can't do when his car is broken down. So then, after he figures out that the toll man's going to let him go when one of them dies, that's when he reverts to his original plan.
Right. All right. Yeah. It was interesting that. I guess that makes sense. It's just that at the end when it happened, I was like, he had so many opportunities just to take her out, and he never did. But I guess
he wasn't sure that he could get away until he got the sign in front of the camera.
Right. Okay. Fair enough.
Well, she had every opportunity to kill him too.
Yeah, she probably should have in hindsight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and when he was complaining that the toll man was trying to get her to kill him, I think he's right.
Yeah.
Because according to the whatever mythology we got, the toll man senses death, whatever the hell that means. And that really was my biggest issue with the movie. It's sort of like, you're on his road, he senses death and pulls you onto his road. And it's like, well, for what fucking purpose? I don't get it. What was that whole journey for? What was the goal there? I don't understand.
Well, right. I think we have, if I were to take another similar story out of the blue, which is Jeepers Creepers, right? Two people on a road and it ends up in a confrontation with a mysterious creature. Mm-hmm. Jeepers Creepers lays out that mythology. It's a very simple, understandable mythology. It comes out every 27 years, I think, to feed. And that's it. Right? That's all you need to know. You now have the mythology.
Mm-hmm.
And then you find out there's a little bit more to it than that, but you get that at the end that further explains it.
Mm-hmm.
So here, I am just as lost about the toll man now as I was 5 minutes into the film.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what is it? What is its? I don't necessarily. I don't mean to say what is its origin. As in, I need to have Freddy Krueger background story, or Jason Voorhees background story. But I mean, this is even a thing that I could tell is grounded in some known urban myth or urban legend or has the story, the mythology built around it.
Mike, that's an excellent a comparison, Nightmare on Elm Street. Okay, that's an hour and a half film, just like this film. And that film, by the end of the movie, you know exactly what Freddy's purpose was, why he's doing it, and so on and so forth.
And that he likes phone sex.
And here, you don't get any of that. And you know, it just shows you that a great film, because again, Nightmare on Elm Street is considered a classic by one of the great writers and directors in the genre, Wes Craven. And that film does it all in the same amount of time and doesn't make you walk out of film like, okay, but who the hell the Toll Man is? You know, who the hell is Freddy? So.
Yeah, this one holds on to its mystery a little too tightly.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what it does. So it detects that there's going to be death or murder, whether it's clairvoyance, whether it sees the future, or whether it just feels and someone's mind that I'm going to kill someone. And so if you're near where it's located, which is in this forest, it has you go into an alternate dimension, which is basically the forest, but in an ultimate dimension. And then you can't leave that dimension until you or one of the other people that you're with is dead, because it the toll to get out is a death. Now, obviously, the old woman that comes by and finds them, and she says, "Oh, I've experienced the Toll Man. That's why I can see you people, but you can see me, but you're not here." My guess is that she must have killed somebody and escaped the Toll Man. Yes. Sometime a long time ago.
And that little bit I liked. I liked her showing up like that.
Yeah, it was cool. Especially when she says, "I'm nowhere near you." She's right there.
Well, and I was also disappointed they didn't show him, meaning the driver, the Uber driver or whatever he is, Lyft driver, touch her, because she says, "Here, touch me. When you touch me, you're going to go right through me, because you know, both of them are just apparitions to each other because they're in different dimensions." Mm-hmm. And the girl grabs his hand and prevents it, you know, and that kind of upset me, because, you know, damn well, if it was one of us, we would have demanded to touch her hand no matter what. So
well, there is another interesting thing, too, is that for some reason, the Toll Man shows them painful moments from their past.
Yeah, that's where it reminds me of Windmill, the movie Windmill.
And I don't understand why. But I liked it. I really like seeing her backstory like that, and showing that, yeah, she really does have a reason to mistrust men.
What the hell happened?
Apparition of her future dying self. I like that whole bit.
What now? What I didn't understand her dream. What happened to her in the past?
She was raped.
I believe she was date raped at some sort of party. And then everybody around her just like, "Well, you were drunk. Are you sure you didn't want it?" Right. You know, and he's on the track team. You know, he's a fine, upstanding young man. There's no way he could have done that. Just forget about it. Move on with your life. Right. So, like, she had this whole trauma around being sexually assaulted and not having any support from anybody around her.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty standard backstory of someone in any type of film, whether it's a horror film or a drama, because...
Right, but I like the way it was presented as an apparition in the middle of the woods. It reminded, that particular part of the movie reminded me very much of The Ritual.
Now, but the question is, why, though? I mean...
Well, and that's part of the movie I have an issue with, is that they don't tell you why.
Yeah, because they have his backstory.
Is it feeding on that? Is it trying to make them get off balance so they do try to kill each other? Yeah.
There was I don't know, it was just a lot of strangeness.
I think what's missing here really is kind of the hook. Not the urban legend hook in the door, but just something to grab the character. And, you know, Freddy was easy. You got the mythology. Okay. He was a man who was murdered by the vengeful parents and has come back for his own revenge. And, you know...
Jason, Friday the 13th, you know, the woman.
Right, his name was Jason. Right, you had a bit of a mythology to build these things around, to hang things on. Candyman, another really good example, right? Candyland, they kind of Candyman, they give you an explanation, kind
That's
of the bee thing, and you know his love affair with a white woman, all this stuff that they give you to build
they
up.
They do it in an hour and a half.
And they do it in an hour and a half, and that's just exposition, right? And it's, but they find a story to tie these abilities together, to tie all this stuff that you're seeing together. So here you have this toll man. I don't need to answer all of this, but why is he called the toll man? Why does he have the ability to distort space and time? Why can he see into your head, into your mind, memory, but he has to actually only be able to see you, you know, all these like convenient abilities. That's like great to set up a scenario, but what's the backstory? What's the story behind all of this to make it happen? Cause it's not an easy thing. It's not as simple as like Jeepers Creepers, which is, this thing's going to come and kill you and steal a body part, right? This is,
why were there all those apparitions as well?
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't just one. There was, like, all those figures.
Oh, right. Because it was multiple.
Can he split himself into multiple creatures?
Right.
I didn't get that.
Well, and that comes back to what Mike said, which is they're convenient, but they're, you know, to move the plot or to do what the writer wants, but it doesn't help us, the audience, you know, we're
right.
As clueless as the two lead characters. And that may be true if we were in that situation, we'd be clueless. However, that, you know, that's not a story. You know, as a story, you don't want to be clueless.
And again, I want to be clear. I love mystery. I don't need everything answered, but I needed a hook to really have a handle on what this thing is or who it is.
Motivation.
You know, yeah.
Why?
Something about it. Something to recognize as a character as opposed to a plot device.
Right. Well, and I guess eventually there were kind of some rules, but there weren't a well-established set of rules for the Toll Man.
Yeah.
And that's
right.
Well, and they were unrelated too, like Mike mentioned, you know, and Barrett mentioned, you know, he can split up into multiple. Okay, that's fine, but it's unrelated to needing a toll, which
right.
is unrelated to why he can see a murder is going to take place, and never mind, he can bring back your deepest and darkest secrets too.
Well, and
know?
What I find all weird about that is
the toll man could have used a little work.
The whole idea of them not being seen by him, protecting them, then if he could sense death, I don't see how that works. Like, he knew them specifically. He was calling them specifically in because he felt death. So by them hiding themselves, I don't see how that changes anything.
Right.
I don't know.
Well,
seems,
I mean,
weird.
It's to be fair. I mean, you know, like an animal, a bat can detect something because of sonar or whatever, the radar,
yeah, yeah.
Or whatever. But it may know you're there, but it won't know exactly where you are if you stop moving or whatever. So my guess is, and this is just an assumption because it's not told to us by the writer or director, is that it can detect murder or death coming. So it knows you're there, but it just doesn't know you're there all the time unless it can see you. So
I don't think it's that it doesn't know you're there. I think it's that it can't get into your head.
Right.
So like during when they were out in the open, it could see into their head and create those illusions of the backstory, right? And then once they hide themselves, they can't directly mess with their head anymore by accessing their thoughts and memories.
Which I actually really liked. I thought it was neat. I just trying to reconcile it with everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That part was the part I liked the least, was the apparition moments, because, you know, we've seen it dozens of times. I mentioned, you know, we saw it in Windmill, for example, and we've seen it in other films. So that was like, yeah, but I did like the idea that there's something out in the woods that needs a toll, and they're in this forest, and they got to figure out how to get out. And so that those parts worked really good for me, but the apparitions were just a necessary backstory when they should have used those apparition moments to give us explanation of who the Toll Man is instead.
I don't necessarily disagree, but I still enjoyed them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're well done. No doubt.
Yeah.
They're well done. Yeah.
And I also will say that there was a moment right before the reveal at the end where I thought the driver was going to say that he had been thinking about killing himself.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, yeah. I text you, Eric? Did I
then say they got someone? Interrupted, right?
Yeah, actually, I even thought at one point, I texted Eric this, I said, I think she's already dead, and mm-hmm. this is her hell, and the driver just gets sucked into it because he happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
No, but like for about 10 seconds there, I thought that he was going to confess to having suicidal thoughts, which is why the Toll Man smelled death, and they ended up there. But then they took it right back to, oh, yeah, I am a serial killer.
Yeah,
definitely. Great. Yep. Point, Eric. That would have been awesome if the Toll Man thought someone was going to suicide, because she could have suicided too, right? Because she had she was melancholy too, based off of, you know, her relationship with her parents and all this other stuff. So that would have been a better way to end it instead of going with the he's been a serial killer the whole time.
I disagree, but like the actor, really sold it like he was going to say he was thinking about killing himself, and then came out with that line about thinking about what she would look like while he was fucking and killing her. I was like, oh, guess not.
You know what? It didn't work for me, because when he the first thing he says when they've determined that they can't get out unless one dies, he goes, "Don't worry, I'll take care of you." And I immediately said, okay, he's going to kill her, because he's not meaning I'll take care of you as in protecting you or killing myself to save you. I'm going to take care of you as in the other meaning, which is I'm going to kill you. And so it went a little further, and then I stopped it and rewinded, and I re-listened to it. And I said, yeah, that's what's going to happen. And then he says exactly what he says, which is I'm going to kill you, or I was thinking of how I was going to torture you or whatever. Then I replayed it a third time, and it's like, yeah, what's the word when you know it's
transparent?
Transparent, yeah, that's not the word I'm looking for.
But telegraphed?
Telegraphed, that's the word I'm looking for, thank you. Yeah, so it was so telegraphed, because when he said, I'll take care of you, I was like, okay, and then it was unfortunate it did go that way, so.
Well, now, and here's my nitpick. During the final scene here, is that he shoots her with an arrow, and then he's gonna realize he needs to go finish the job. So he goes up to her, and he snaps his arrow in half to go stab her with it. That's so fucking dumb. Does it stab better when it's shorter? No. No, you're just leaving a piece of evidence there with her fingerprints on it for the fucking cops, you idiot. And it ends up that the broken piece of the arrow is what ends up piercing his skin. If he just hadn't snapped the arrow, that was dumb. There's no reason for that.
The whole fight was stupid, too, because there's no way that she would have won. And
yeah,
especially with her wounded. So what they should have had, if it was better ridden, it would have had her throw sand in his eyes or something, because it's a dirt road.
Well, and if she pepper spray him.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's true. She did pepper spray him. Yeah.
Could kind of see the short arrow. I'm working here because I'm with you, Eric. But like, if you have an arrow and you're going to kill a person with it, but maybe when you're like, there's more that it might be likely to snap. If you're using the full arrow when pushing at it from behind, you know, as opposed to maybe just take the shorter end if he's planning on like pushing it in kind of like a plunger.
But well, he was in the same place, so it didn't matter.
Well, yeah, well, I know. Why didn't he just shoot her again with the
arrow? I'm trying.
He's a marksman.
Exactly. Why not shoot her again? Why get close to anyone you're going to kill?
The whole scene was problematic.
Oh, right. Jesus Christ. It's like you don't know anything about serial killers. He wants to be looking her in the eye when she dies.
There's no emotional
satisfaction to picking her off from a distance.
Then he could have clubbed her with a log in the woods or the tire iron or something.
It was just a log that found on the ground. Ew. Pill bugs all over it.
There's nothing wrong with pill bugs. No, that's a fair point. And centipedes too, Mike. Millipede.
Yeah, no, I think this gets us back to an age-old refrain in the podcast, which is sometimes you just have to stop trying to understand crazy. Crazy people do crazy things. So I can understand. Yes, are there going to be better ways for him to have done the things they ended up doing? Absolutely.
Then they should have just ended it with a bad ending. I mean, a sad ending, which is he wins. If they were going to go that route, to have the final fight, that just was like.
Well, and to me, like, and I know I'm being nitpicky, but to me, the whole thing of him throwing the piece of the broken arrow, clearly, it seems like he's done this before, probably several times. And, like, that's exactly the kind of thing that will get you caught. Throwing away an arrow with your fingerprints all over it.
Right.
When they find her dead body and find the broken arrow with her fingerprints on it, 2 + 2 = 4, you're the killer, you're fucked.
Yep. You know what else gets you caught? Killing the person that you picked up for an Uber.
You know, I hadn't even thought about that. You're absolutely right.
Yep. Yeah. Now, maybe, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it wasn't his car.
Or maybe he gave Uber fake credentials.
Or something, yeah. But yeah. I'm going to assume that, they can
explain that. Or maybe he killed an Uber driver and took his phone.
Right. There's any number of things.
Yeah.
Right. Or he was just a serial killer and never got caught.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, but you know that it would have been like, oh, Stephanie died. What's the last thing she did? She Ubered. Well, let's go talk to this Uber driver.
Well, and there are also people out there. This happened actually to Kevin Smith's daughter, Harley Quinn Smith, a couple of years ago, which is that she ordered an Uber and then somebody pulled up and motioned to her to get in the car. And then she like looked at her app and it said the guy was still 3 minutes out. So there are like people out there who if they see somebody waiting by the side of the street will like pretend to be a driver and say, hey, get in the car.
Yes, that was a big story like, for me. 2 years ago. Yeah, I remember that I saw when that happened. A woman was killed by a person that imitated an Uber driver and it wasn't an Uber driver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The thing is that, yeah, I mean, if he's a serial killer that's killing people by Uber driver and it's his car, then there's no way he can get away with it because
she
was on the app. She has a cell phone that she was texting people up until this point when they went into the other dimension. So mm-hmm. they would know that, okay, the last person to see her is this guy. This guy would be the number one suspect.
Assuming that was his phone and he was registered with Uber.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. And again, that's never explained either. So there's another mm-hmm. thing that's unanswered. You know, and that actually kind of upsets me when I think about it because I didn't think of any of these things.
The movie doesn't hold up to close scrutiny, but I don't think you're supposed to scrutinize it that closely.
But I also think these are unanswered questions.
Yeah.
And unanswered questions are not plot holes. Unanswered questions are not necessarily bad writing. It's that we never got to the point where the cops ever had a chance to question him, right? So we never saw what happens afterwards because he never got around to killing her. So there may be.
But if he's done it in the past, though.
Yeah, but I'm saying, well, maybe the writers do have answers to these things, but there's no sense in forcing it into a story when the story doesn't demand that it gets answered at that particular moment.
Right. No, I agree. You don't have to answer everything. I mean, you know, there's actors that make an entire backstory of their character. So when they're acting in a film, they act as if those were the things that were in their past, even though we the audience will never learn any of those things. So that's fair. But I think this film has way too many, and I know you agree, Mike, too many things that aren't answered that leaves us unfulfilled, I guess.
Say, well, like I said, to me, the only thing that leaves me unfulfilled is that I don't have a handle on the Toll Man and why he's doing, again, not why, but either why he's doing, how he's doing, the something in mythology to tie all this stuff together. I mean, like another example would have been like the Predator. You know, if the Predator was just randomly killing people for no particular reason, it would be a very different movie. Once you make it out that he's just, you know, a hunter on safari, then you got a hook to hang the whole thing on, and everything kind of, you know, is grounded and makes sense. And he
right. becomes. There's another hour and a half film that gives right. us the backstory without being hello, Bob.
So, mm-hmm. anyway.
Yeah.
But obviously, also, I don't need to know the serial all of the serial killers.
Yeah, at the end of the movie, we still have no understanding of why the Toll Man felt the need to take them into this alternate dimension and what the outcome was that he desired. Like, would he have been just as happy if the girl had ended up dead? We don't know. He just wants someone to die, which seems pretty silly. Because somebody was already going to die. That's why he smelled death. So what's the point? I don't know. Unless his goal is to get the other person to die.
Unless he gets
a
soul.
I don't know. Yeah. Which they did not state. I don't understand what his ultimate goal is with this exercise.
Yeah, those are excellent points, too. My main ones is they went with the serial killer Uber driver, and they don't tell us why the Toll Man does or who the Toll Man is. So those things kind of bother me too.
I don't think the Toll Man is a who. Is it? I think the Toll Man's an it.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. It was weird because I enjoyed the film up until the dream sequences because I didn't think they were necessary to the end. And again, I'm not
sure if they were necessary. I thought they were really well done and beautiful.
Yeah, but I didn't really care for them that much, even though they were well done and beautiful. But I just didn't.
I liked them because they added to the ambience of paranoia and just weirdness of the what they were dealing with.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know. Again, it's not the worst film I'll see all year. It was fine. It was good. But there was just a lot of problems that I had with it, as all. What else do we want to talk about? Any other scenes that we missed or want to bring up?
I thought it was kind of cool when the Toll Man showed the driver the vision of his mother, who had apparently committed suicide.
Yes.
I like that. And we never do get the answer. He goes running off into the dark with her to find out what she was going to tell him, and we never know.
Right. There are a couple of scenes that are reminiscent of the Blair Witch Project running through the woods.
Mm. Yeah, actually, one of the reviews I read said that this was... you know, they used a lot of things from other films, and that was one of the films they mentioned, the Blair Witch.
Yeah, I think Blair Witch, you can't, you know, just like you can't have somebody, a priest getting out of a taxi without thinking of The Exorcist, you can't have people wandering the woods now without people immediately thinking of Blair Witch.
Right.
That's kind of stuck in, or at least, you know, people who know it and live through it. I'm trying to think. There's some of it. My guess would be that what she was going to say is that she hated him. That's what the creature was going to say. And I don't know what she was really going to say, because if it's reading his mind and he doesn't know, I don't think the creature knows.
Right.
I don't think the Toll Man knows what she was going to say.
What would mess with his head the most?
Yeah, and that might very well be it. And I think that because she mentioned something later, like, I always hated you, just like you hated me. Mm-hmm. And so I have a feeling that's what he was going to end up saying. That's my thought.
Right. Yeah, well, and that's why I thought they weren't going to go the route of the driver being a serial killer, because they're showing his backstory too.
Yeah.
Like hers. And both of them suck. They're both, you know, his backstory was actually probably worse than her backstory. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, he seems like he, the day he was born, he was fucked. So, but then you find out that he's just a villain too. So, but
I don't understand why it upsets you when stories make sense.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing
has nothing to do with making sense. But go on, Mike. I'm sorry.
Well, see, this is the whole Mindhunter thing, right? Oh, look, the person who's abused by his mother, who committed suicide at a young age, ends up growing up to becoming a serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
Surprise!
right, exactly.
Probably impotent, yeah, too.
Well, that's the problem, Eric. I don't think it makes any sense, to be honest. I mean, again, the two backstories aren't even necessary to the whole plot of the film. And they should have just stuck with the monster in the woods, you know, and then see what happens with that. And so, you know, even if they do want to go with the common trope that, okay, one of them was a serial killer in the first place, that's fine. But the backstories, I don't think helped at all with the Toll Man, which was supposed to be the main threat of the film.
Well, I think where it helped is that it got the movie up to 80 minutes.
That's true.
And if you want a chance of being in theaters, you got to be at least 80 minutes long.
Right.
But it does add, for people that are interested, you know, it does add character and character development. It gets some motivation to who they are and what they're doing. Again, never my favorite part of a film are those dream sequences. Especially when, like, we were very aware it's a dream sequence and the characters for some reason never are. When they're not asleep, they're fully awake, and yet they can't figure out they're hallucinating. So when they're aware that the thing is making them see things.
I think she was aware.
But she was still falling for it.
Upset.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing I've always disliked about scenes where they show something like this. I think the only film that's ever done it really good is Solaris, the Russian film. But all the rest of them, it's like, I know it's all fake. You know, at least, oh, an Exorcist too. He goes, "You're not my mother," because he just, you know, he knows, even though he's getting upset, he knows. While other films like this one, they let themselves get sucked into it too much and actually take it, you know, versus saying, "You're not my mother." And that's what they should have done. And I didn't feel that either of them did that, because why would the guy follow his mother in the woods when he knows it's not his mother? And why would she listen to all these apparitions when she knows they're not there? You know,
well, he gets into their heads. That's why they get kind of controlled by it in the short moment. And they need each other to get out of it.
But they do that in The Exorcist too. And Damien, you know, Damien, why you leave me here? Why you do?
That's a little different though, Phil, because there the voice is coming out of a girl, whereas here they're actually creating these apparitions to look like the people that they knew,
and directly out of their head.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's directly out of your head. You know they're not there. You know, I mean, he knows his mother.
Not how hallucination works.
His mother's dead, so he knows that's not his mother.
Yeah, but
you're not thinking rationally.
Upsetting.
Yeah, exactly. And well, you don't think rationally when you see something. Okay, if you see something that looks completely real to you, you don't go, "Oh, I know that's not real," even though it's acting like it's real. I mean, it's not as simple as just saying, "I disbelieve," and it goes away.
Well, at this point, you know you have some sort of demon or monster in the woods. So anything the demon or monster puts in front of you, you're gonna at least me, I'm going to say, that's all evil demon shit. So I'm not going to buy into it.
I think it's easy to say you talk rationally about it.
The implication of the movie is that it has some sort of influence on them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I mean, it's. I guess it just. I've not saying it's the fault of this film. I've had this problem with a lot of films. Including
I know you hate character development.
What are you talking about?
This is not even close to the first time you've railed against character development.
No, but this has nothing to do with them going into a backstory of a person because they, whatever. This has to do with when you see apparitions. So it has nothing to do with the backstory. It has
the
to
purpose
do
of the apparitions is to give the backstory.
So it's nothing new.
Right, but I've always had issues with films that had apparitions, whether it's telling backstories or not. The people know that the apparitions aren't there, that it's just fake.
But it wasn't fake. It was there.
I know.
It was there in that reality.
And also, Phil, you come off like, here's the thing. Like, it is easy to sit here and say, well, if somebody tried to mug me, I would just kick their ass because I'm not going to take that shit. But if you're actually in that situation, it might go a little differently.
I don't think it's the same analogy. If I saw my mother and father, I would say that's not them. That's they're dead. My parents are both in the grave. This is not them. So
you say that now.
Armchair quarterbacking. You're not in the situation, so we don't know how you'd react. It's just like if you could say that in a war, you would definitely
fight, but he can say
away.
How he imagines
real. The war
he can
is
say
real.
How he imagines how he would react, and he finds it implausible that people are going to react when confronted with apparitions that are clearly apparitions, that they are not the thing that they're representing. That said, she was also stuck in a weird time space loop in the middle of the woods. By a
their minds being controlled.
So I don't necessarily know why you would have to eliminate the fact that he could bring your father there or something.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen a lot of films, though, and again, it's not this film, it's a lot of films that when that stuff happens, and they say it's not your mother, it's not your father, I don't know, it's just never, again, maybe it's part of the supernatural part, which is.
What I was about to say is that it might not be, in addition to creating the apparition, I believe the supernatural entity of the Tall Man also has some influence over them.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And as I've always told you, I've always been more of a real life horror fan rather than a supernatural film horror fan.
Which is why I don't understand why you watch horror movies, because if you want to see the real stuff, just turn on the news.
Yes, indeed. I don't know. I mean, again, though, it just may be this film's not for me.
That's fine. I'm not trying to talk you into liking it. I find that particular complaint a little bit illegitimate. That's all.
Fair enough.
Yeah, and I didn't dislike the film. I was just disappointed in it.
You're not mad. You're just disappointed.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, I'm not mad either. I'm disappointed. Because
it could have been a great, great film, I think.
Well, and I agree. It could have been great, and it wasn't great. But I don't think it was horrible either.
Yeah, it was so close to being a low-budget film. Yeah, it was so close to being great.
Mm-hmm.
If it just had gone that extra mile, it would have had it.
Yeah, if they had fleshed out the Tall Man a little bit, I think this could have been great.
Yeah, I mean, as Mike's intro to the movie, his opinion how did you hear about this and what you thought? Pretty much, I felt was right on how you said it, Mike. But yeah, I mean, I was enjoying it up until honestly, I was enjoying it until
the Tall Man.
No. The Tall Man was actually good. It was when they run through the woods and they come to the house, and then we start having the flashback stuff. That's when it went downhill for me.
Okay.
That's about an hour in?
Yeah, that's about an hour. Because it was like 35 minutes in when I think they see the first flash of the Tall Man. And she's in the woods.
When she sees it out the window of the car.
Yeah, you're right. Right, yeah. Exactly. And then so it's like, okay, there it is. Now it's not going to be the uncoupleness between the two characters and who are they and is one crazy. Then we have the monster, and that's cool. And then that's goes on for about 15 to 20 minutes because, you know, then they meet the old woman, and then they, oh my God, they're in another dimension. And then he goes off and he comes around in a circle, and then they find the pictures. Was he being a pervert? But then the pictures disappear. It's like, okay, this is good. This is really good. And then they have the flash, the scenes about their backstory, which is fine. Backstory is fine. But it didn't have anything to do with the rest of the film. And so it's like, okay. So, I mean, it does give paranoia.
Let me ask you this, Phil. Would you have as much issue with the backstory parts of the film if instead of being an hour 20, it had been an hour 40? And they've given us some more details on Tall Man?
Yeah. If they explain why the Tall Man did those backstories.
Okay. So it's not necessarily the presentation of that information and the way it was done or its existence. It's the fact that it happens and we have no explanation.
Right, because because you have a windmill, which does the same thing. It's you know, they're all on the bus. It breaks down. They all head over to the windmill, and then every one of them starts seeing these flashbacks and apparitions. And then we learn at the end that they were all chosen to be on that bus because, and the bus driver is working for the windmill monster, and they've all have something bad in their life. And the windmill monster's there to basically give them their hell, you know, the demon that basically takes them to hell, basically. And so all that, and it's all explained. It's like, okay, all right. So that's what the windmill guy is. He's not just some serial killer, because again, that would have been cool too, if he was just some crazy guy that lived in the windmill and they broke down. But then you learn when it's just all the supernatural happens, you learn that, the demon, which is the windmill guy, it chose all of them basically to punish them. And you learn that he's basically a demon that punishes. So that, you know, while here it's like nothing. And so you're right. If there was another 20 minutes that explained some of that stuff, then it would have been okay.
Yeah, okay, we basically get that he just wants blood for his toll, and that why we don't know.
Right. Well, if you're some evil monster, that makes sense. But you know that's the point, is that, you know, some demon or monster or outer being, they want death, you know, and so it's going to be a fight. I thought that it would have been cool if they were both not bad. If the serial killer guy wasn't a serial killer guy, and like you said, he was just going to suicide, and then at that moment they have to either turn on each other, is, you know, like for example, Cheap Thrills, where they kill someone at the end, or Would You Rather is another one where that happens, and that would have been cool. Or they decide that they're not going to kill each other, and then like in Cabin in the Woods, that film, they both go to the doom because, you know, the giant hand kills them both. So that would have been cool too, but they didn't do that either. So, but again, it's its own distinct film, so it's not going to copy them things, those movies either. But I'm just saying, other examples of where you have two people that have to make a choice, It was more shocking in those films, Would You Rather, Cheap Thrills, and in Cabin in the Woods, because there is no evil people necessarily. They're either forced to make a choice and become evil because they kill someone, or
know my theory on people.
Right. Well, right. And or they choose to not be quote unquote evil, and they say, no, we're not going to kill each other, and then they're either ultimately doomed or they escape. And here, they let us off the hook. We knew who to root for at a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
which is fine too. But again, I think Mike made a good point too, which is they telegraphed that this guy may be the serial killer right from the beginning. And we all had we had that notion from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he turns out to be the serial killer at the end, it's like, oh, because when they were talking in the car, saying, oh, no, what are we going to do? I was like, oh, shoot, they're going to either have to kill one another, or they're going to say, well, I'm not going to kill you because I'm not a murderer, and I'm not going to kill you because I'm not a murderer. The tall man is just going to kill us or something. I don't know. There was just so many different ways they could have gone, I think, too.
I think the lesson here, ladies, is that when a man says he's going to die for you, let him. That's not the time to go pulling out the whole feminist thing. I don't. I'm
well,
not going to let.
I had that thought cross my mind too, Mike, but that's not what he was actually saying.
I know.
He said, "I'll take care of you," and he meant something right. else.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I do immediately.
No, but her reaction to that was a little like. She's saying, I'm not going to let any man fall on his sword for me. I'm like, lady, what the fuck do you want?
Well, I don't think she meant that. I don't think she meant it as a feminist statement. I think she meant it as, I didn't want, you know, you don't deserve to die.
I don't want to live if somebody else has to die for my life.
Exactly. That's what I think she meant.
I mean, yeah, the problem here is a matter of math, which is there are three possible outcomes as far as we can tell. And one of those, and two of those outcomes, she's dead.
Right? Okay.
Right. Because so, either the monster kills both of them, or she loses the fight between the Uber driver. Right.
Right. Right. It's either one of them or both of them. None of them was never an option. So, you know, if I thought that one was. I mean, I don't know where I would go with this if I was in this situation. And this is, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I don't want to die. And if someone was like, I'll die. I'm sure there's a part of me that's going to go, okay. You know, there is
especially
that part of me.
Especially
that,
when they're a stranger.
Thanks.
Especially when they're a stranger, right? It's not like.
Shit, I'd kill them. What are you talking about?
It's not like your family member, right?
Screw that. Me or them.
Well, you know, even if it's a family member, I'm just saying. I'm not saying it's all of
it's still me or them.
Watch your back, Pam.
Well, it depends on the family member. I mean, I wouldn't let my kids.
Depends on the family member.
But if it's my siblings, I'd have no
problem. I don't know, man. I think you got to wait until they hit adolescence, and then you may change your mind.
they're a little stinkers even today. Believe me.
Yeah, you're right. So
maybe even more difficult.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it's going to be the whole part. I'm saying it would be a natural thing for us to go, well, that is a way out of this. But, yeah, I mean, there's also going to be a part of that. But, boy, I'd feel kind of guilty about that. But then again, I would be alive to feel guilty about it.
That's right.
Like a bag of bricks. Just set it down.
And, you know, I was raised Catholic. I could always just go to confession. That'll work.
See, that's the thing. Is I would be in a quandary because if they offer to kill themselves, okay, fine. But if I'm now forced to kill them, I don't know if I could do it because I don't want to damn my own soul, being the Catholic, as you said, Mike. But if she started, or even if I was the girl and he started attacking me, then I would have no problems blowing his brains out. Or killing them. So I think I would have to wait until they make the first move. So I would be in a defensive move waiting for them to be the enemy nation that attacks, and then we can bomb them.
Yeah, I want to be with the person with the quandary.
Oh, right. You want to kill me before I get you. Yeah, but then your soul's damned to hell, Barrett, if you just kill me.
If you believe in
that. Well,
I think
God might make an excuse. In your case, I'm just...
but
don't worry, there's plenty of other reasons you're going to hell.
Wait in line
is one of them.
What was that, Eric? What's one of them?
Patriots fan is one of them.
Oh.
Hey, at least I'm not to drag you in, Mike, I apologize, but I'm at least I'm not a Yankees fan, and you're a Dallas Cowboy fan, Eric. That's even worse,
right? They did. They actually did a bracket in the show Mythic Quest, where they had like a bracket competition. You know, like the NCAA of the worst people, and the final bracket was Nazis and Patriots fans.
That's really true. Really,
I'm not making it up.
It wasn't just. Satire. I am not making that up.
That is hilarious.
Satire. It wasn't satire.
I'm not making it up. It was in the show.
Show. Okay, so what was the show again?
Mythic Quest.
It's a nerd show on Apple TV.
Yes.
So it is a satire then. Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's a.
Well, are you trying to say that Nazis are not bad people? They had all sorts of bad people in there. You know.
Why do you love Hitler?
No, Patriots. Speaking of the New York Yankees, tomorrow night I'm going to Fenway Park to see the Yankees lose to the Red Sox.
So is anyone else getting the sense that we are running out of things to talk about?
Oh, I got that sense about 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you guys right. just kept going.
I wasn't one of them. I've been kind of quiet for the last 20 minutes. Anyway.
Yeah, that's unusual. Are you feeling okay or did you fall asleep?
No, I was actually filling out a survey for Disney Plus. So I just
there you go. That's the answer he was doing. What's the survey? What do you mean a survey?
All right, let's wrap this up.
All right, okay. Hold up. So before we give our final thoughts on this film, I guess we talk about any news or things we've been watching. So let's start with you, Mike. You got any news and things you've been watching?
The only thing news that I can think of off the top of my head is, I guess, that Spielberg's Amblin Entertainment just signed a deal with Netflix to make some movies for them.
And people are laughing at him too because he kept on saying streaming sucks for years and now he's doing streaming.
Well, here's the thing, his studio is doing streaming.
Gotcha.
We don't know that he's going to make anything for streaming.
Well, if his studio
in terms of like any of his personal films.
Right, but if a studio is, technically he is, because he's putting the money into it.
I'm just saying he has some slight wiggle room if he wants to justify it to himself.
Why doesn't he just admit that he was wrong and say, streaming's fine, and that's that, and I'm going
to... Maybe he doesn't think streaming is fine, but he doesn't mind taking streaming's money.
Guys, people always say what's in their best interest. Steve Jobs is the perfect example. There were so many things that he publicly criticized that Apple later turned around and did themselves.
Apple will never use a pen.
They just didn't want anybody doing it that way then because their product didn't do it that way. Like streaming music and using a stylus.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. Yeah, so that's the thing. That people
spying on their customers.
That's why you don't ever, as Barrett mentioned to me on one of our Halloween Boutique Psychotronic reviews, don't listen to people who say they're experts because they're I don't know why, but it makes sense because they have their self-interests and they're jerks.
Wow.
Or, you know, they're
actually experts. I didn't quite say it like that. That's definitely a little different than what I said, but that's fine. Quote me.
That's kind of a psychotic thing to say, actually.
So next time you need medical advice, don't go to the doctor.
Yeah, it's definitely not how I meant it. If that, it's
No. Go when he said expert, Barrett was not talking about your regular doctor. He was talking about the elites.
You mean the experts?
Right. The quote unquote experts, exactly.
No, quote unquote.
Not making any sense. Let's move on.
Yes, please.
No, because they have in the middle now.
Let's move on.
And Spielberg had an agenda. He didn't want, you know, it's like Quentin Tarantino. He said the same thing, like, digital sucks. And it's like, fuck you. Digital filming has made so many damn good movies, some of them as good as his film. So fuck Quentin Tarantino. Fuck Spielberg.
Who's just mad at the world?
I'm mad at the elitists. They're all self-interest pricks. That
I don't think you have a solid definition of what that is when you say that.
for any of the Uber drivers out there, their name is Phil Perrone. Pick them up at your own risk.
No, Uber drivers aren't elitists. They're just people. You're done.
Never Unless they're serial killers.
Well, serial killers are just people.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Now only does Phil love Hitler, but now he thinks serial killers are just misunderstood.
No, I said they're people. No, you're the one that brought the serial killers up.
They are misunderstood. All I'm saying,
I know. I'm putting words in your mouth because it's fun.
Sure. All right, so Mike, what other things have you seen of interest? But Barry, you know what I'm talking about with that doctor in that movie in Summer.
I know what you're talking about, but I didn't mean it quite the way you said it. So that's fine. It's fine. We won't go into it too much further than that.
Fair enough. Mike, anything else that you want to bring up?
Let me think. Not that I can think.
Yeah, you're talking.
We just started watching Mare of Eastwood.
Oh, yeah.
Easttown, rather, not Eastwood. Easttown.
Oh, good.
Yep.
And we're on episode 4. We've done 3. We're about to start episode 4 is the next thing we're going to get into. And we're liking that a lot.
It's fantastic.
We watched the show. Pam was the one who chose it on Amazon Prime. And I can't – called Panic, which was – very teen novel-y. It wasn't bad. It wasn't terrific, but it was an interesting premise. It's free if you subscribe to Amazon Prime. I can't really think much else that I've been doing.
Or something?
What's that?
A thriller or something?
I guess kind of teen, like it's a teen thriller thing, yeah. It's based on a teen novel or teen series.
All right, very good.
Haven't really seen any movies that are springing to my mind off the top of my head. I've been just in the mood for some mindless stuff, so I've been playing Dead Rising 4. If I haven't mentioned that, because just running around murdering zombies.
It's a spaceship, right?
No, that's Dead Space. This is Dead Rising.
You're right. Dead Rising.
this is killing zombies in a mall and in a town.
And there's some movies based on it.
Hold on, what's this called? What's the movie? What's the video game again? Dead Rising.
Dead Rising.
Oh, the original.
This is Dead Rising 4.
Okay, so number 4, like number 1 was in the mall. So number 4 is now in a mall, too?
Number 1 was in the mall. Number 2 was in a
Vegas,
Vegas-ish. Yeah. Number 4 starts kind of in a mall and then expands to the surrounding town.
And when did this game come out, Dead Rising 4?
It apparently didn't do very well. I picked it up kind of cheap. I don't know why. I don't think it's the best in the series. But it is mindless zombie killing, and so I'm fine with that.
Right, right. Yeah, oh, yeah, you look at that. It's old. 2016.
16, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So this had to be one of the earlier games on the Xbox One.
Yeah, it actually got decent reviews. So, yeah, I'm surprised it didn't do well. That's too bad. All right.
So there's actually – I've completed the game, and then there is a bonus game called Capcom Heroes, where you can basically play through the game as various Capcom characters.
Oh, so you could be Jill from Resident Evil or something?
I haven't unlocked Jill if she's one. There's a number of characters from like Street Fighter, okay. Beautiful Joe, if you've ever played that game, is one of them. So yeah, but a lot of Street Fighter characters. Mega Man. Is another one.
Gotcha. Are you doing that now?
Yeah.
Playing one of those? Which one are you playing as?
You switch to the character. Instead of like getting new weapons, you just switch to the character and the character runs for about 5 minutes. And then the timer runs out and then you switch to somebody else. Dante from Devil May Cry is one of the ones I've unlocked.
Oh, that's cool. Dante, yeah, he's good. Yeah.
Oh yeah, there you go, Jill Valentine. She's one.
Oh, good. That's cool. Yeah, she's awesome.
So again, right, completely mindless, but this is exactly where my brain needs to be right now.
Sure, sure.
And still right, better than Army of the Dead.
Right, right.
Oh, Jesus. Speaking of Army of the Dead and Netflix, Black Summer. I just finished the second season of Black Summer.
Oh, nice. How do you like it?
I don't know why I forgot it. No, I liked it a lot. I need to rewatch it because it very much kind of throws you in the middle of things. It throws some new characters at you. And I was having a little trouble keeping them straight at the end, at the beginning. And now I kind of got to go back and rewatch and see if that some of the earlier stuff makes more sense to me now that I know who the characters are and everything's played out. It could definitely end where it is. It could definitely continue.
Mike, no, I've only watched a couple episodes. Are you telling me that in later episodes it circles back to some of the characters that are eliminated early on?
I don't think it's any of the ones that are eliminated.
Okay.
I don't know. Which episode are you on?
I think I just finished 3.
Is that the one in the house?
There are several in the house.
The first one where the two characters get into the house?
I think it's that one and the one after it. That's what I just watched.
Okay. Yeah. You don't really go a lot back to the ones that died.
Okay.
But it's more just knowing, like, there's a lot of new characters introduced.
Okay.
In the second season, and I was having a little trouble.
Like that group with the truck.
Right. Right. So there's.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. All right.
Okay. Yeah. So you'll see more of those two groups, and now that I got a better idea where everyone ends up, it'll maybe help me trace back where they were at the beginning and see how it all, again, kind of goes back.
Gotcha.
Now, I would really love to discuss this with one of the directors or showrunners, and
that would be neat.
I have some real questions for this.
Okay. All right. Anything else, Mike?
No, that's it.
All right, sounds good. All right, what about you, Barrett?
Not really watching anything new. We're watching Leverage over again because there's a new season that's coming out in July. So I just wanted to rewatch it because it's been quite a few years
What station is it on?
It's on Prime via the IMDb app. And I guess they're doing the new show as well. And it's basically about a bunch of cons that help people out. It's got Timothy Hutton in it and then some other familiar faces.
Okay.
And then aside from that, I am playing around with my Oculus Quest 2. I joined a Kickstarter last year for this an online VR game, role-playing game, and it's in alpha now, so I'm playing with that. It's kind of interesting.
All right, very good. Sounds good. So anything else, Bert?
We are going to be finishing up on Halloween Boutique Psychotronic Reviews this coming weekend. We're finishing out Pride Week. I think we're going to have our third film of the month release this coming weekend, and then Sunday night we'll be reviewing our final movie for Pride Month.
All right, and then we'll go back to regular midnight movie stuff.
Yep.
All right, sounds good. Eric, what about yourself?
I've been watching some things. I watched a movie that's not classified as a horror movie, but certainly has horrific aspects to it. I watched a movie called The Father, starring Anthony Hopkins. He won Best Actor for his performance in that movie. And his character is suffering from dementia in that movie, and the movie is pretty much all from his point of view. And if that's what that's like, that's kind of horrifying, at least to me. So it's technically a drama, but I'd recommend it. I did a couple of rewatches. I rewatched Ready or Not, and that movie is still a whole lot of fun. And then I watched a newer movie called Censor, which I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it stylistically. But I'd be lying if I said I understood it. I don't have a firm grasp on what they were going for there.
What's the name of this one again?
Censor.
Okay.
When
you say censor,
experience of watching the movie. So
when you say censor, you're talking as in like banning books.
C-N-S-O-R.
So okay, not one who censors.
It's about somebody who is a censor. I think it's set in the 80s. And her relationship with horror movies and horrific events in her life.
Gotcha.
Other than that, I haven't really watched anything, but I did watch, I believe it was the 20th this month, was the anniversary of the release of Jaws. And I watched a bunch of reaction videos on YouTube of people watching Jaws for the first time. And it's a lot of fun because people freak out a lot. I think I watched about 10 of them over a few days. And it... Jaws is such a well-made movie, and I found it really interesting that there are just like moments that consistently get people to react, and I found that to be really great. Like the first time you actually when a shark's in the pond and you first see like exactly how big it is, people like are, oh my god, you know, and then you know of course when the boy gets attacked and when Brody sees it for the first time.
When you shove it.
And I just thought it was really pretty. I thought it was a testament to the quality of the movie that I'm watching all these different people watch the movie and getting reactions out of all of them at the same points in the movie. I thought that was pretty cool. So if for some reason you're a human who's alive and hasn't seen Jaws, go watch that. And if you want to have some fun, watch some people react to it on YouTube.
All right. Anything else, sir?
That's it.
Okay. Very good. For myself, I haven't really done too much. I watched two movies for Halloween Boutique Psychotronic Reviews that we recorded one of them already called Circumstance and another one called... Summer of St. Gil, yeah. And that one we're recording, as you said, on Sunday. So those films. About to binge Black Summer. Season 2 just came out, as Mike and Eric mentioned, and Barrett mentioned as well. I'm still playing out Fallout 4. Again, that game can go on forever, so I'm not even close to being complete, but I've already played it once a long time ago, like three or four years ago. But so I'm still working on that. And then I watched about 5 episodes of The Office last night, and pretty much
of course you did.
About 5 or so every night this week. So I'm at the run for rabies fight episode. So that's where I'm at now. That's pretty much it. I didn't get much reading in this week, so yeah, that's what I've been doing. All right, so I guess we can give our final thoughts on The Toll. But before we do that, Eric, you actually do another podcast with your buddy Dan.
I do. It's a general interest podcast called The Ascancity Podcast. That's spelled ASKANCITY. You can find it wherever you got this one.
Excellent. And Mike, it looks like probably the first half of July, we'll probably do a new episode of a podcast that me and you, Eric, and Eric do. Me, you, and Eric do.
Yes, that is Cinema a la Carte, which is a spinoff of the Dark Discussions podcast, where we discuss films that maybe aren't quite appropriate for Dark Discussions. We have discussed films in the past, such as Jack Reacher and Inside Out, and Stolit, and Flash Gordon, and Collateral, and we've got another one in the line coming up, and we each basically are rotating, and I think the next one is Eric's pick?
Yes. Recording is my pick, yep.
Yes. Yep. So that is the next one we're doing.
Yep. And then Barrett, myself and you are, as you mentioned, are doing a Halloween Boutique Psychotronic Reviews themed month.
Yep, we're doing Pride Month, also known as LGBTQ Month. And we are on our fourth film this coming Sunday. We have reviewed three other films. Two are out there to look at on Dark Discussions Network. And the third one should be out there this coming weekend.
Yep, that's right. All right, sounds good. So we can probably get into our final thoughts on The Toll. So let's start with you, Eric.
Yeah, I like The Toll. I think I agree with all the issues everyone had with the movie. It just didn't bother me as much. I enjoyed the acting and the cinematography of the movie enough that it outweighed the other issues for me personally. So I like the movie. If you like two person movies where it's mostly two people talking to each other, I would say give it a watch.
All right, very good. And I would assume, Eric, you would agree that anybody who likes the film should probably buy it because it does come with a pretty decent, actually a really well done 25-minute documentary.
Yeah, that's actually fun to do. Yep.
All right, sounds good. And Mike?
Yeah, I like two-person films, generally speaking, but I'm also not always a fan of, I don't want to say psychedelic, but films with uncertainty, uncertain realities, and a lot of times I just find them annoying. I don't think that was my problem, though, with this film. Like I said, I just found a hard time getting emotionally invested in either the characters or their dilemma. I didn't dislike the film. I thought the film was a fine way to pass about 80 minutes. And if this is the sort of thing that you would like, then certainly give it a try. But I do still think I have to go with what Eric said, which is if you're going to watch any movie this week, it really ought to be Jaws.
All right. Sounds good. Yeah, for me. I mean, the film was all right. When I watched it, I was entertained. I pretty much discussed some of the issues I had with it earlier, so no reason to rehash any of them. If you are a fan of the film, I do recommend that you spend an extra few bucks to buy it, as I said, because the 25-minute documentary on the making of the film is pretty solid. The director gives a lot of feedback. Jaws, I'll probably watch, but I won't watch that for another week because it's a July 4th film.
4th of July. They're actually putting it in a theater here. I'm excited to go see it on a big screen.
There you go. So, yeah, so July 3rd, I watch Return of the Living Dead, and then July 4th, I watch Jaws.
Nice.
Because, yes, two of the best 4th of July holiday films of all time. This film here, though, it's probably worth taking a look at. I don't know if it's worth renting or buying it, because it's one of those things. I don't want to, have you do that and then you say, Phil, what the heck? You just spent money. Yeah, but again, it depends. It depends on, like any other film, take a chance on it if you think it sounded interesting. So yeah, that's my feelings. Barrett.
Yeah, I liked the film. I already went over some of the things I didn't like about it, but I generally liked the film. The cinematography is great. The acting's great. It has some really interesting ideas in it. I especially liked the paranoia factor in the first hour. And it's generally a good film to watch. I just was disappointed in the end. And, that's like Mike says, this is the movie I got, not what I wanted. So there's that. I think you could enjoy it if you want to.
All right. Sounds good. So once again, this is a Lionsgate film called The Toll, a Canadian film. Besides doing the festival circuits in 2020, it was released everywhere in February and then March on disc and Blu-ray. The film was directed by Michael Nader and stars Jordan Hayes and Max Toplin. And as I stated earlier, the movie was joint produced by all three of those people. So it was equally all three of their film. Though the film was written by Michael Nader. As Eric mentioned, he was told to make a film that they could do on the cheap. The film is getting fairly acceptable reviews, mixed to positive reviews. And, it's available anywhere you can rent VOD. And as stated, the discs, I believe both DVD and Blu-ray are available wherever you find discs. And so, with all that stated, Eric, what will you lead us through?
All right. Thanks for tuning in and listening to us talk about The Toll. Come back next week. We'll have another topic.